Who is this man, Jesus? And where does he come from? Some say that Jesus is the Messiah, but Jesus is from Nazareth, and the Christ must come from Bethlehem, the city of David. Besides, can anything good come from Nazareth? So who is this man, and by what authority does he do and say the things that draw multitudes of people to him? For 3 years, these questions drove the scribes and Pharisees mad. And the longer the Lord Jesus traveled about the countryside, attracting vast crowds, the more desperately the Pharisees and their friends in the Sanhedrin sought a way to stop him permanently. Who he is, of course, was so obvious that even a blind man could see it. But the Pharisees, with their eyes wide open, could see only their prejudices. Throughout his public ministry, the Lord Jesus performed many miracles which revealed his mastery over nature. And these miracles were also called signs, meaning signs pointing to his divine nature, signs that he is the Word made flesh by whom all things were made. But while there were many miracles during the 3 years between Christ's baptism and his resurrection, St. John focused his gospel on only 7 of the signs worked by Jesus. First, his changing of water into wine at Cana. Second, his healing of the son of a royal official at Capernaum. Third, his healing of a paralytic at the pool of Bethesda. Fourth, his feeding of the 5,000. Fifth, his walking on water. Sixth, his healing of the man born blind, and 7th, his raising of Lazarus from the dead, about which we will read next Sunday. Today we consider the 6th of these signs, the healing of the man born blind, and the Lord Jesus began this sign by correcting the hateful notion that people with disabilities or diseases somehow deserve their lot in life. Christ insisted that this man was not blind because either he or his parents were sinners. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not a sadist who inflicts physical or emotional harm on us as punishment for wrongdoing, either our own or that of others. This man's blindness, rather, was simply a natural malfunction of the body. But this infirmity did provide an opportunity for the Lord Jesus to draw back the veil which concealed his divine glory from human sight. And by giving sight to a blind man, the Lord Jesus also revealed that although he is a man like us in all things but sin, he is at the same time God from God and light from light. In fact, the Lord Jesus is the light of the world more truly than is the bright star which fills our daytime sky. And here we come to a puzzle. Given the power of his signs and the authority of his words, why was it so difficult for so many people to see that Jesus of Nazareth is the God who revealed himself to Abraham, who delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt, who gave the law to Moses, who brought the people to the land of promise, and who anointed the shepherd David of Bethlehem to be king? The Lord himself provides part of the answer in his instruction to the prophet Samuel in our first lesson. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart. And so Jesus looked into the hearts of the Pharisees who opposed him, and he understood their rejection of him because they could see only a man whom they did not respect. They saw an upstart who had no credentials. He was not educated in their schools. He was not certified to teach by their authorities. He did not defer to their expertise. He traveled and ate with notorious sinners. His disciples were not proper scholars. They were all simple working men of no standing. And perhaps worst, he would not conform to their piety, by refraining from curing the sick on the Sabbath, explaining that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Pharisees could see only a man beneath their contempt, and yet the public signs were a real problem. Some of the Pharisees had witnessed what Jesus could do, and so a disagreement broke out among them. Some declared, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And then this very disagreement among their own number became only a further provocation to them. But what the Pharisees could not and would not see, the blind man did see. Jesus could simply have said to him, "Receive your sight," and the job would have been complete. Instead, the Lord spat into the dirt and made clay, which he then smeared on the man's eyes. Remember how Lent began? "You are dust, and unto dust you shall return." We are made from the clay of this earth, and then the life-giving Spirit is breathed into us by God the Father. And that is why all seven sacraments of the New Covenant are designed by God to mediate His grace to us through physical stuff. We receive God's grace according to our bodily nature. And since we are made from the dust of the earth, we encounter the living God through bread and wine, oil and water, the touch of a human hand, and the power of the spoken word. After Jesus anointed the blind man's eyes with clay, he instructed him to wash in the pool of Siloam, which was a narrow channel in Jerusalem, cut into solid rock, and fed by springs outside the city, with water piped in through aqueducts and a tunnel that survives to this day. The Pool of Siloam was a place for ritual washings that prepared those who bathed in the water to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to worship with clean hands and pure hearts. And now the blind man was sent by Jesus to this pool as a prefiguring of holy baptism. Recall that Lent exists to prepare the church for baptism at Easter, both the baptism of those who will be born again by water and the Holy Spirit, and the stirring up of baptismal grace in all those who have already been born again and will renew the promises of their baptism at the celebration of Christ's Passover. And one of the many names for the sacrament of baptism is enlightenment. The Paschal candle, which is born into our midst in the darkness of the Easter Vigil, is the preeminent sign of Christ our light. And from that flame, the baptismal candle is kindled to signify that, as St. Paul writes to the Ephesians in our second lesson, all who are baptized were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. And that is why we must live as children of the light, and take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. After the blind man washed in the pool of Siloam, his eyes were opened, and he saw the light. The Pharisees were outraged and demanded an explanation, which this now seeing man struggled to provide. But then he declared, "One thing I do know, is that I was blind, and now I see." The healed man then knew that Jesus is no ordinary man, but he was not yet sure what else Christ is. And this is so very often our condition. The Lord Jesus seeks and finds us, and we are changed by his grace. But we can then find it difficult to give a precise explanation to others of what has happened or how. And if we speak of the grace of our conversion, we may be ridiculed by others just as the Pharisees poured contempt on the man who received his sight. And this should not surprise us, for thus says the Lord, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Because of the paradox of the cross, such blindness is always at work, even in the church, in some way, as we can see in our time, in the never-ending testing and arguing over how, if at all, to accommodate Christian doctrine and discipline to the sexual revolution. We see this in the demands of many baptized Catholics, including, sadly, not a few bishops, priests, and even cardinals, who insist that the Church must abandon the apostolic deposit of faith on the disputed questions of human nature, personal identity, and sacramental grace in favor of the new Gnosticism, which pretends to be the light of wisdom, when in fact it is just a reworking of the ancient blindness which leads to fruitless works of darkness. But friends, those who call darkness light, no matter how well-intentioned their motives may be, are simply following the same blind path as did the Pharisees, who held in contempt both the Lord Jesus and the man he healed. Notice, though, that when the Pharisees finished tormenting the man whose eyes were opened, the Lord Jesus sought him out in love and spoke to him as he did to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well in last week's gospel. Jesus asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man cured of blindness replied, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And the Savior answered, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." And then the man who had been given the sight of his body next received saving faith. By the grace of our baptism, we are called to worship God with open eyes, clean hands, and pure hearts, as did this man whom Jesus healed. And the grace of second birth is given to us in holy baptism precisely so that we can confess the divine glory of Jesus of Nazareth and bear witness to the truth of his gospel with our words and with our lives. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. St. John tells us that this man with his sight restored said to the Messiah, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. In the clarity of vision which comes only from our conversion, a conversion by grace through faith, hope, and love, we too are called to worship in spirit and truth the one alone who is God from God and light from light, the Word made flesh and Savior of the world, the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ.